Well, it's kind of funny to admit this, but I had never actually been on a farm until I went off to college and then especially to seminary. Kind of crazy, right? I know I'm a Tennessee Volunteer by fan, my fan club, right? But I'd never really been on a farm until I left for college. And it's one of those things where I'm a Metro Atlanta boy. Anybody else from the Metro Atlanta area? A few people, woohoo, represent, right? But anyway, as a Metro Atlanta guy, like, here's the things that I valued, right? I've always valued things that are new, right? I love seeing new things happen. I've always valued, like, options, choices, right? We've got malls everywhere, restaurants everywhere. I love that, I've always valued fast-paced results, seeing progress happen, It's kind of in the Metro Atlanta roots that I've got. And so I remember when I was in college, I remember driving past a few farms, and I remember driving past and not really thinking much of it, not really thinking at all to stop. First of all, people would have probably wondered, what are you doing on my property, boy? But I didn't have any reason to be there. But I didn't really stop at any kind of farm because other than to conquer a few corn mazes. How many of you have done a corn maze? A few people. Yeah, the rest of them are still lost, in the corn maze. They didn't make it out, but they're not here today because of that. But anyway, but when I moved to Kentucky, when I went to seminary, that was the very first time I really lived the farm life. And the area that we were in, we lived in this little teeny tiny small town outside of Lexington, Kentucky. You could say it's a suburb because it took about 20 minutes to get there, but it was very much not a suburb of Lexington. It was a little town called Wilmore, Kentucky. And Wilmore, if you remember Mayberry back in the day, Andy Griffith stuff, that's kind of the picture. It's a town that stuck back in the 1950s. Things are still closed on Sunday. You can go into the pharmacy to get soda and stuff like that. That's what they call it there in Kentucky, whatever. But anyway, so it was an area that was known for these beautiful rolling hills. For this amazing Kentucky bluegrass. It is so green that it's got this blue tint, so weird. And also, mostly it's known for raising horses that eventually raced in the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown. This is what my surrounding was in seminary. And so I remember I only applied to Asbury, and so I remember driving up there with my mom to see it for the first time, the place where I'd already committed to go, and we went the wrong way. We ended up on these back roads, and it was this one-lane road going into campus. And I thought, what have we just gotten into, right? But here's kind of the thing. That was kind of my surrounding. And so at the same time, our chapel leader at the seminary had been raised on a farm. And so from the very beginning, he started using all these different illustrations about farming all throughout his teaching. And I remember thinking, like, I don't even know what this guy's talking about. What do you mean, about all the seeds and stuff like this? But this is, to me, farming had always seemed kind of boring. Kind of, something that takes a long time, too slow, But it was one of those things that through his stories and through my surroundings, I started to gain a newfound respect for the work that farmers do. And I really saw that when a farmer plants something, it's never haphazard. They always have this detailed plan. In fact, if you drive to the beach toward South Georgia, you start seeing how detailed the plan is. There's these really straight rows of crops and that just go for miles and miles and miles. It's never haphazard. And it's a constant grind, day after day after day. They nurture and care for whatever they're growing. And it truly is a labor of love. And so when a farmer looks out at a barren field, that's kind of a bad day, right? When a farmer looks out at a barren field and realizes, man, there's nothing to, it's not producing any income. What he doesn't do is sit around and complain about it. What a farmer doesn't do is he doesn't just sit around and pray about it, although praying is good. What a farmer has to do is he goes over and he takes some seed and he starts planting seed so that something will eventually start to grow. And so this is kind of the thing. Nothing ever grows until a seed is planted. And it's one of those things where it starts out as just a tiny seed that goes into the ground. But what's produced out of that, it ends up being, after this constant work and attention over time, this tiny seed becomes, like it grows into a fruit or whatever the seed was. And many seeds together start to produce something much, much bigger, a whole garden. But it would never produce, it would never grow if a seed wasn't planted. Now, it's kind of like, you may be like, okay, great. What is this all about? It's because this, everything in life started with just a seed. Everything in life starts with just a seed. You think about this. Like, okay, well, what about a friendship? It started with a seed of a conversation. If you think about a business, it started with an idea and a dream. What about a marriage? It started with, I saw her, I saw him, you know? And maybe you started to fall in love. It was a seed that was planted. Even churches are planted by just a seed, a dream that comes from God. Everything in life starts with just a seed. And so there's really two great lessons that I've learned when it comes to farming and planting the things that God wants to plant in our lives. And it's really this. The first thing is that nothing grows and nothing produces unless you first plant a seed. Nothing grows and nothing produces unless you first plant a seed. If you want to see something happen in your life, you've got to start laying some seeds into that. The second thing that I've learned, though, is more about timing. I always want things to be faster and bigger, faster, stronger, whatever. Here's the second thing I've learned about timing. It's this. We often overestimate what can be done in a short time. So many times we got this big idea of like, man, we're going to accomplish this in our family, in our church, in our lives. And oftentimes we overestimate what can be done in a short time. But we often underestimate what can be accomplished over time. See, we don't realize that so many times by laying seeds and allowing God to let those grow, what God can build out of that. And so today we're continuing in our series called Unleash. And we're talking about how God wants to unleash his love into the lives of people all throughout the world. But strangely enough, the way God chooses to do that is not by snapping a finger or waving a wand. God basically empowers people who have already encountered him. He unleashes us, his people, to go out and to demonstrate or to show people his love. And it's one of those things where when Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, it's one of those things where sometimes we raise our hand and it's kind of like, well, Jesus, that seems like a daunting task. How are we going to reach the whole world? Seems impossible. But Jesus demonstrated what he wants all of us to be part of, what he wants all of us to do, a strategy. Is God wants us to start where we are, start with our sphere of influence, start with our friends, our family, our coworkers, and our classmates. And all of us doing this together, we basically go with this mantra that we reach the one until God has reached everyone. We reach the one until God has reached everyone. And as all of this, and believers all over the world are doing that, all of a sudden God is able to reach the whole world. And so we've already talked about ways to do that. We talked about inviting. Next week, we're going to focus on the sharing part, sharing your story and sharing your faith in a way that's real, in a way that helps people to connect to Jesus. But today, I want to talk with you about the one big thing that opens the door for any kind of sharing, and that is serving. I want to talk with you about how we can connect people to Jesus through serving. And so today's message is called, on my shirt, you can read it, it's called So Love. So love. And what I want to encourage you to do is I want you to think about how you can sow love into the lives of people through serving. How you can do that. Because I want to challenge us to think differently about what it looks like to serve people and what God does as a result. Because so many times when we serve people, we think it's, you know, we look at what it costs us. We look at, you know, kind of what's going on and what we can see on the peripheral, but oftentimes we don't see what God is doing. So I want to encourage you and challenge you today to think differently about when we serve and what God can do, whether we serve in the walls of the church or out in the world. Because when we serve, what it's actually doing is it's sowing some seed. It's actually one of the ways that God, through God's help, we're scattering seed of God's love in people's heart. That's what serving is all about, planting seeds of God's love into people's lives. Because nothing speaks louder than when people see God's love lived out in us. So, you know, the truth is God is seeking to enter into the heart of every single person all throughout this planet. Kind of crazy. But to do that, God is looking for people. He's looking for people in the church who are willing to demonstrate his love and willing to share his love with the world so that it becomes real. And the thing that I found, before we even share God's love, people have to see God's love in us. That doesn't mean we don't ever share. He was like, well, I'm not doing a good job of showing it, so I'm not going to share. But just stick with it, because here's the thing. A selfless, when we show selfless, humble serving of people, serving for the benefit of someone else, it is so contagious. It's something that can that opens people's eyes. It's something where people look at you and they start saying, there's something different about that, because the world is not like this. The world doesn't operate like this. And our job is to simply, when we show God's love, it opens the door to share God's love. Our job is to just simply scatter seed and trust God to be the farmer who oversees the process and to build something through it. So today we're going to look at a couple passages of Scripture, not really so much a story, but a couple teachings from Paul. And the first one comes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You don't have to turn there. It's just one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The words are going to be on the screen. They already are. There you go. And the Apostle Paul is writing here. And I have to tell you up front, he is talking about giving, like financial giving, generosity. He's talking about what can happen when we give. But I think this is also a verse that we can apply to what happens when we serve as well. So I want you to check out what the Apostle Paul writes here. And he says this. He says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You probably heard this before. What you reap what you sow, right? If in order for something to grow, a seed has to be planted. And so Paul is basically saying is, all of us have seeds in our hands and opportunities to reach out to people with the love of God. And what he's saying is, if we sow, or if we sow just a little bit, we oftentimes won't see quite as much a result. But if we're willing to sow very, very generously through our giving and through our serving, that God can build something huge out of that. And it's one of those things in our lives that as a farmer, when a farmer gives seed, you know, when seed falls from the farmer's hand, out of his hand and into, you know, the ground, a farmer is tempted to think, I'm losing something here. Like it's one of these things where at first it feels like the farmer's just losing seed. And it's tempting to think that for the farmer that what I need to do is just hold on. Hold on to more of the seed. I mean, I have a certain amount of seed. If I give too much of the seed, then I'm not going to have much left over. And this is giving and this is serving. But here's the thing. What happens is if he holds on to the seed, he misses the reality of what God actually might want to grow out of the ground from his harvest. There's so much wheat that would happen when the harvest time comes. And so the thing is, oftentimes when it comes to serving, or when it comes to giving, we sometimes think that when we give or when we serve, that we're going to be losing something. Now let's be honest. For those of you who have served before, it is, you know, it's not moonlight and roses. It's serving. It's humbly laying your life down, laying yourself down, giving up some things for the benefit of others. It's hard work. Can we be honest? When you serve, it's hard work sometimes. It's a choice that you have to make, and it oftentimes requires some sweat equity. Amen, set up team, right? You know that. It requires some sweat equity. One of the things I love about this church is, I've said this before, is one of the things that makes this church special is that it hasn't been built with the gifts of the few, but with the sacrifices of many. And you see this all the time where this church is one of the things that's contagious. When people walk in the doors, that people, you know, let's say they're brand new, or maybe people who are in the conference who want to see what church is like in a new church, they walk in and one of the things they say is, wow, people are really, really involved in the mission of God here. And it's contagious. And it's because it's not normal when so many people start to serve in a significant way. This is what happens when people serve. And so serving always is hard work. It's sweat equity. It always requires some kind of sacrifice of us. But here's the thing. What we don't often realize is through that sacrifice, how God is actually planting seeds, making something grow in the lives of people that can change somebody's eternity. And so a farmer, when he gives seed, think about this. He gives it in anticipation, not hanging on to it. He gives it with this anticipation that, God, I'm going to trust you, that you're going to do something. You're going to produce something from my labor, from me laying down the seed that I got. You're going to produce. I trust that. And so in the same way, you don't always see the results or the harvest immediately when you start serving. Sometimes you do. But you start feeling good about, man, I feel like I'm like serving a bigger purpose. But when you start serving people, you don't always see the results of it immediately. In fact, I imagine that when we get to heaven, there are going to be stories. There are going to be stories of people that you never even knew their story about. That said, you know what? The reason I'm here today, part of the reason is because you did something to show God's love to me in a tangible way. I was here because you took your time to lead that refresh group. I'm here because you took your time to serve in student ministry and so whatever. I'm here because of the way you served. And the thing is, a farmer, you don't always see the result and the harvest immediately when you serve. And it's easy for us to start kind of thinking when we're serving in the church or out in the world, am I really making a difference? Like, or am I just spinning my wheels? I know this from diet stuff. I've been like doing a diet. I'm doing all right. Still got more to go. But man, I tell you what, I told Mandy, if I know the plan works, I'll follow the plan. You know, if I know the plan works, I'll follow the plan. But if the plan doesn't work, if not, I'm not seeing any fruit from my labor, then forget it. Back to buffalo wings and Chinese food, right? It's the same thing when it comes to serving. We want to see the fruit. But when you sow seeds of love by serving people, God is always bringing a harvest out of it. And so here's the bottom line, the main idea I want to share with you today, and it's this, is that when you sow love, you are planting a seed that will outgrow you. When you sow love, you are planting a seed that will outgrow you. Imagine what God could do as we scatter seeds of God's love into people's lives. Next passage we're going to look at is Colossians chapter 3. And this is kind of a fun one because the Apostle Paul is using this same kind of idea of sharing God's love, the concept of sowing love through serving. But he kind of changes the metaphor a little bit. And a metaphor that I like a little bit better because it's not farming. And he says, you know, that concept, it's kind of like wearing clothes if you think about it. I want you to check out what he says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 14. It says this. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, in other words, because of what I've done in your life, this is who you are because of what you received in me. He says this, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let me read that again. He says, clothe yourselves. In other words, put it on. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 14. It says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, we might not have much experience in a garden. I don't know. I remember when we were living in our house south of Atlanta, I remember we had this little garden that had been set up. It was like supposed to be a garden. And it was a flower bed, basically. And I remember looking at that and saying, yeah, good luck. That's never going to be anything. Because I don't know what have you heard of a green thumb before? Like if somebody's really good at like planting something, you got a green thumb. I don't know what the opposite of that is, or whether it's like a brown thumb or a black thumb, but that's what I've got, you know? I like kill stuff. I'm good at breaking stuff, you know? But anyway, so we might not have experience in the garden, but we all understand the concept of putting on clothes, right? Hopefully. All of you are here today. You know, you didn't get kicked out. So think about this. When you go somewhere, you always try to dress for the occasion. For instance, if you're going to go to a wedding, you don't go dressed like you're going to the beach, you know, because people kind of look at you like, huh, you didn't get the memo. You know, it's not a beach wedding, right? Or let's say you go and you're going to go to a ball game somewhere. You don't usually go in a 3-piece suit. Unless you're the general manager of the Braves, you know, which would be awesome. Let's talk, you know. Well, I've got some ideas of how to make the team better, you know. But anyway, you dress for the occasion. And it's the same in the same way what Paul is saying is you've already received your resurrection clothes. You've already received this from the Lord. You've already received my love and received my grace. It's already hanging in your closet. And so what Paul is essentially saying is, but you've got to make a choice what you pick up and what you wear. And what he's saying is instead of sow love, what he's saying is I want you to wear love like a t-shirt. I want you to put it on every day like you're wearing a t-shirt. See, so many times in our lives, what we choose to put on, we have our resurrection clothes if we've come into the family of God through a relationship with Jesus. So many times, though, we choose to wear our old clothes. You know, we wear our ordinary, unresurrected clothes. And when we bump into people because we're not connected to our true and living vine, Jesus, we're like a branch that's cut off from its source, right? And so oftentimes, I'm mixing metaphors here, but, you know, stick with me here. We put on the wrong clothes. We put on the old clothes that leave people the same as they were before. But what Paul is saying is this: as recipients of God's love, I want you to choose to wear love in a way that reflects back to people the way God first loved you. So when people see you, the very first thing that they say is, wow, see how they love people. There's something different about them, and it points them to God. See, I think what he would say is, let the first thing people see and touch and experience. When somebody's wearing a shirt that says, so love, you notice it, right? When somebody's wearing that shirt that says, you're putting on love, you notice it. You experience it. And so when we wear love like that, people realize that it must have been something that came from God. So put on love and kindness and compassion and humility, and it speaks love more powerful than what words can do. You know, one of the best ways that you can sow love, or you can wear that love t-shirt inside the church, is just by serving in all sorts of ways, using your gifts in all sorts of ways in the church to serve. But you serve in a way where you serve simply for the benefit of someone else. Simply for the benefit of someone else, and to shine the light of Jesus into their life. I love seeing this every Sunday. There's so much that happens at this church. There's so much that happens behind the scenes. So many labors of love that people never even see. And I love how I just almost, you know how worship is, it's one of those things we come and experience it here, but I almost wonder if our Heavenly Father is watching what happens and saying, now that's worship. That's worship. But I love every Sunday we see people who are welcoming people as they come in and serving coffee and shaking hands and not kissing babies, but, you know, helping baby and all this stuff. But I love that, because one of the things that happens is you can sow love by just welcoming people. Because every single Sunday, everybody comes in, whether it's your first time or your whatever time, everybody comes in looking for the same things. We're looking for community. We're looking to connect to God and to people. We're looking to be surrounded by people who really care about us, that starts to represent the God we profess to follow. And so the truth is, when we wear love, when we decide to put on love, when we serve, like today I'm wearing my love t-shirt, I'm going to give of myself for the benefit of someone else, it always is something that connects people to Jesus. And so, you know, studies have shown, this is crazy, I was reading this, have shown that most times, all throughout the country, when somebody visits a church for the very first time, a first-time guest makes a decision whether they're going to come back in the first 10 minutes they arrive. And that means before a message is even spoken, before a note is even played, somebody's made a decision of, am I encountering the love of God here? And is this somewhere that I could see myself and somewhere I'd want to come back to? It's all because of the way people are welcomed. It starts there. And I love that, because one of the things I hear almost all the time at the Fountain, people come in and say, wow, I just felt just so, you know, like people cared about me and I felt like I really belong here from the moment I walked in. Praise God. Another way that we can sow love inside the walls of the church is by just sowing love into the next generation. And you see that happening in kids ministry and student ministry. Now, I was in youth ministry for a while, and I know, sometimes you're serving, and it's kind of like that farmer that you're planting, and you're like, come on, God, when am I going to see some fruit from this labor? Because sometimes it seems like, am I just watching kids? Am I just, you know, changing babies? And it's one of those things where over this last month, though, I've seen this breakthrough in my two-year-old daughter's life. She started, I don't know what happened, but in the last month, she after church, we're tearing stuff down, and she starts running to me, but it's like kind of like that, like waddly, you know, run. It's cute. She's got a diaper, so, you know, you go with it. But it's so sweet. She runs to me, and she started saying, Daddy, 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 and she's holding this sheet that's kind of flopping. And one day, I was kind of doing other things. Mandy said, she really wants to show you this. And I was like, okay. So I got down, and I started reading the sheet, and it was her sheet from kids ministry, what she'd learned. And she'd colored all of it. And she said, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. She said, Jesus loves me. I was like, whoa. Like, hopefully I taught you that, but I think you learned that somewhere back here in our kids ministry, right? I was pretty impressed. And I thought, well, good. We're doing a good job brainwashing our kids, you know, in kids ministry. Way to go. But beyond that, this past week, Mandy and I and our family, we were just in our living room. Everybody was kind of, you know, doing different things. And Kelsey, my two-year-old daughter, was playing. And she was she had her little doll, and she was feeding it a bottle, and it was really sweet. And she was trying to comfort the baby. And so she said, shh, it's okay, baby. And she started to sing this song. Jesus loves me, this I know. Singing it to her baby doll. For the Bible tells me so. And, you know, our eyes as parents were kind of like welling up with tears because we started to realize she's getting it. She's getting it that God not only loves her, but she started to see that God loves everybody. And she wanted even her baby to know that even God loves her baby. And so it was like, that's the kind of people that God wants us to be. And they're getting it. And it never would have happened. It never would have happened if somebody didn't wear love and choose to serve in a way that my two-year-old daughter could come and could connect to Jesus. And so here's the thing. Just a reminder that when you sow love, you're planting a seed that will outgrow you. The other thing I want to encourage us by is one of the best ways is to actually carry love, to put on that t-shirt, to sow love out into the community, to take it on the road, right? Road trip with love, and to really serve people out in the world. And I want to introduce you to a new term, a new phrase maybe for you, and it's called servant evangelism. Servant evangelism. And this is what I think is one of the most powerful ways that we can start to serve people in a way that leads people closer to Jesus. The word evangelism is not like the bullhorn guy at the Braves game that's telling people where they're going and what they need to do. That's not evangelism. Evangelism is simply sharing the good news about Jesus, telling people about God's love for them. That's what evangelism is. And servant evangelism means that it's a strategy. It's a strategy where you show God's love first, and it opens the door to share about God's love. Both of them go together. You show God's love so that you can share God's love. And one of the things that we oftentimes we do is we just try to like, you know, we just try to go out and serve. You know, we try to go out and serve. But if it never connects the dots to Jesus, then it misses evangelism. For instance, if I'm going to pay for somebody behind me, if they don't know it has anything to do with God or Jesus, it's not evangelism. It's nice, it's good, but it misses the mark on connecting people to Christ. And so what this does is it combines both serving and sharing. And so the thing I love about it is for those of us who are like, oh, I don't know about sharing my faith, it is low risk and high, high grace. I like that stuff, low risk and high grace. Because basically it means that you go out and you do something to serve somebody, to demonstrate the unbelievable kindness of God, but you do it in an unbelievable way. So you go out and you serve to demonstrate the unbelievable kindness of God, and you do it in an unbelievable way. Usually it means offering something completely for free with no strings attached. And it's one of those things where when you do that, it opens the door to share about Jesus. So for instance, one of the things that sometimes Christians have done is gone out to a place like the ballpark or the Swanee Town Green where people are running. And you just simply, doesn't have to be expensive, hand out some free drinks to people. And instead of just handing out the free drinks and say, have a nice day, that's just serving, right? Servant evangelism is you hand out the drinks and you could even have a little sign that says no donations accepted, right? Something like that. You don't have to do that. But when you hand out the drink, you make the connection to God. Where you give him a drink and you say, hey, Bob, I want to give you this drink. It's a simple reminder that God loves you with no strings attached. And that's it. And what happens with that, when you sow love like that, people don't know how to respond. In fact, we've done free gift wrapping for Christmas before. And we've been out there, and it is like freezing cold in December out at a bank. You know, we're out in the middle of a parking lot, and we're holding up signs that say, free gift wrapping. And people will drive by. Then they drive by again. They drive by a third time because they're like, what is that? What do they really want? There's got to be a string. There's got to be a catch. And finally, it's all the men, you know, who finally show up because they don't want to wrap the gifts. And so they show up and they're like, hey, is this really free? Like, yeah, absolutely free. And so we wrap their gifts and it's really cool. But then they're like, hey, let me give you just a donation. Just I was like, nope, we don't want any donations. This is simply to show you that God loves you. And at first people are like, you know, they're suspicious. And then it turns into people are dumbfounded. Like, why would you do that? It's just gift wrapping, you know? Why would you do that? But over time, I've seen people and just grown adults who have looked, going through something in their life, and God touches them in that moment, and their eyes start welling up with tears, and they start to realize in a profound way that goes even beyond what words can do, how much God really does love and God really does care for them. It's a servant evangelism. And this is what everybody's dying to see, isn't it? Christians living out their faith and really loving people the way God loves. And that's what Jesus said, didn't he? In John chapter 13, he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so here's the thing, on the week leading up for Easter, Easter's on the 16th, we're going to be doing some servant evangelism stuff as a church. This is going to be a lot of fun. Low risk, high grace. And we're going to do a few projects throughout the community, and I want to invite you to be part of it. And basically, it's just a way, it's because whenever people see God's love in action, it prompts their heart where they feel God's presence and they see that God is real, and it opens the door for us to share more about Jesus. And so here's the question as we wrap up today. How can you start sowing seeds of love into the lives of people through serving them? Not just loving them in here, right? But actually serving them outwardly. Because we can love people in our heart, but people don't even know it. How do you put it into action through serving? How do you sow seeds of love? And how can you every day put on that t-shirt, that love shirt, that basically reaches out and serves people around you? How can you do that here at church? How can you do that in your neighborhood? I realized I have a neighbor across the street that we've gotten to know a little bit, but man, God just prompted my heart recently to say, you need to get to know that neighbor, just to love him, just to get to know him. And you never know what God will produce out of that. How can you do that at work and in your family? The bottom line is this: when you sow love, you're planting a seed that will outgrow you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the way that you love us, the way you've demonstrated that love to us. And God, I just thank you so much that you give us these simple reminders all the time that what you ask for in our lives is not just more performance. What you want is just to display your grace and your glory in our lives. But God, I thank you that we as followers of Jesus, for those of us who have already stepped across the line, that you give us an opportunity to sow seeds of love into the lives of people through serving. God, I pray that today that you would encourage us to see opportunities, to look for ways that we can be on mission for you, to demonstrate your love, not to just feel it, but to demonstrate through serving how much you love people. God, I pray that you would empower us by your Spirit to do that. And that everywhere we go, that we would be the type of people that's deciding to put on that love t-shirt everywhere we go, so that when people see us, they bump into more of Jesus.